The Old Testament is taken from the second book of Samuel, the 22nd chapter. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful, and with the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely, and with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For in you I can run against the truth, and by my God I can lean over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the church at Corinth, the 10th chapter. Now these things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from the management, people may receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe the master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Then I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate today on the gospel appointed for this Sunday. These words focus our attention. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. In the name of Jesus, amen. This text presents many problems to the exegete, because when you look at it, it seems to be that Jesus condones the sinful activity of this manager. You know well the steward story. He has a calling. He is to invest his master's goods. Then comes the accusation of wastefulness. The verdict? Render your accounts. You can no longer be steward. Now the steward is perplexed. What can he do? He is fired, out of work, no sustenance to keep him, no place even to lay his head, no home, no food, no shelter, certainly no pension. He is too old to change careers. He has no hope of future employment. There is no governmental unemployment, no way of changing his job at this time, no vocational training for something else. Where could he beg enough to sustain himself? What will he do? Now, if this were a mere secular story, the interpretation would probably be self-evident. Faced with a crisis, the steward is clever, although dishonest, in solving his problem. But if one considers this illustration not from the standpoint of the steward, but from the standpoint of the master, then the focus of this illustration is not on the dishonesty of the steward, but rather on the mercy of the master. It is, I would submit to you, from this perspective that we are enabled to see the gospel in a clear and complete way. It is true that the master judged this man to have acted unfaithfully. Indeed, so the law judges us. Unemployed or working, negligent or faithful, this illustration impacts you, because you too have been appointed as a steward of God by your Creator. If God is your Creator and the Creator of the universe, then you are merely stewards of earthly gifts, not masters. If God is the giver or the true owner of your talents, then why entrust them to you, one might ask? The answer, of course, is for the benefit of the neighbor. Since Christ dwells in you, God would have you befriend the neighbor on his behalf. Since Christ lives in you, and you live by faith in him, then through you, God feeds the hungry and clothes the naked, has pity on the homeless through you. Many people, maybe some we even know, have had great sums of money, and yet God has seen fit to remove that money from them. Many people have had intelligence, power, and various skills. Many people who thought those things were theirs have been rudely awakened when those things were taken from them. Even your job and your ability to work hard are gifts given to you from God. Now the question, therefore, is what kind of steward are you of those gifts? Today, the Lord would summon you before his judgment. Today is the day that God, your Creator, demands of you an accounting. Now you could plead that you have been faithful, unselfish, kind, always placing the needs of God's kingdom and the needs of your neighbor above your own needs. You could claim that, although you may not be the best steward, you are way above many, and you can look around in this very space and find some you would love to compare yourself to. You are way above average, you may say, when it comes to stewardship things. But then you recall whom it would be that you are really trying to fool. So I ask you, what will you do when God demands an accounting of you? What is the solution for this unjust steward? And what is it for you? The temptation here is to use the law to focus on the sinfulness of the steward who squandered the trust given to him as steward of his master's goods. The steward was wasteful. He's fired. The master does not have him thrown into prison nor punish him in a lawful manner. While this may have been his right, the master apparently is a merciful man. It is upon this mercy of the master which the steward trusts in coming to a solution of his dilemma. The character of the master is to be faithful, and the unjust steward staked everything on the merciful nature of his master. So I ask you again, dearly beloved, what will you do? Possessions may tempt us to become distracted from the main focus of our salvation, Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for you. Instead of looking to your merciful God, in whom you may put your trust, you may be tempted to look at your possessions or politicians as the source of your hope and well-being that offers for you security in this uncertain world. In this idolatrous way, the use of possessions that God has entrusted to you and the possessions themselves become the focus of salvation. Jesus stresses here the wise and shrewd as the steward was in earthly things, you who live for eternity need to be wiser. You are called upon to use these earthly gifts entrusted to you so that you too may reap an eternal reward. In other words, you must use your earthly blessings in the same way that the merciful master treats you. Your Creator has entrusted enough and even more than enough that you might be generous, assisting others while making a contribution to this world according to the blessings which God provides to you. Your salvation has been freely bestowed upon you, not by your work, but through the work of Christ. Christ has fulfilled the law for you, to win salvation for you, to pay the penalty for your sin, even the sin of failing so often to use earthly possessions as God would desire. But when you do obey God's word, when you do use your earthly blessings as God intended, you may rejoice in that gift as you honor God and serve his creation. If God has given you a useful skill, rejoice. But don't seek your own benefit. Make friends with this gift, remembering that you are a steward of the gift and not its owner. If God has blessed you with wealth, that too is a gift. Utilize that gift as a true and wise steward. Think of yourself as God's manager here in your little portion of the world. So what do? You may give to the poor, donate to the needy, bring the destitute even into your home, proclaim Jesus as Savior. But above all of these things, remember the gospel that implores and calls you to trust the mercy of God. Trust the gospel of Jesus Christ who died for you. Bank on the gospel message that speaks of your Creator's unending mercy freely given to you for the sake of his only begotten Son. Someday, wealth, talents, the ability to dribble a basketball, all of those things will be gone. But the work of Christ and the mercy of God the Father working and living through you remains forever. Trust the Master's mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.